three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Time now for headlines as we predict what will happen on Sunday as the Packers take on the Vikings at Lambeau Field.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
I'm going to do something crazy.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say kissing cousins. Pack bikes tie.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
He missed it again! And we'll end this crazy game in a tie. Oh my goodness.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Clock out of Wilde and Tausch begins now. I saw this earlier this week. I am going to defer to others because I personally, and I know not everyone agrees with this, I don't think we should do participation trophies far into people's lives, but I think when kids are learning sports and need some positive reinforcement, I think people that make a big deal about participation trophies are just wrong. I don't agree with it. If you're doing T-ball or YMCA soccer with 5 and 6 year olds, and they think it's a really big deal to get a little medal at the end of the season, and having coached a lot of those teams, even before I had kids, I think there's value in it, so I get a little irritated with this topic. But this might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
What do you think, Tausche LaRussa?
You know where I stand on that.
Yes, that's why I didn't even bother to ask.
Jason. Yeah.
I don't know where this... I'm not familiar with Vincent Goodwill.
Everybody is now.
I'm familiar with St. Vincent de Paul, where I do some thrifting. And Goodwill, where I do some thrifting, but not familiar with Vincent Goodwill. In fact, I had not heard of him because I don't follow the National Basketball Association closely, so I haven't read his work before. But apparently, earlier this week, he was on GetUp for a panel discussion, and here is what he said about the Larry O'Brien Trophy, which... for those of you that don't follow the NBA closely, is the championship trophy for the NBA. It is the Lombardi trophy that everyone is chasing in the NFL. That is what
Who is Larry O'Brien and why is the trophy named
Longtime commissioner, I believe.
No offense to Larry O'Brien. He's had a hell of a run. Let's change that to Michael Jordan. Let's change that trophy. Like, I think in most
cases, call it the Vincent Goodwill Trophy.
Naming rights, I think, should have a 20-year window on it. I think.
Oh, so we're gonna rename the Lombardi Trophy for Brady, like Belichick. Belichick wants us to.
I would like to have. Here's what I'm gonna say. I'm not gonna go down that road today. I can only think of one thing. Larry O'Brien has had his run, in my opinion. I think it might be time to mix that up a little bit. That's all.
I can't believe that's okay. The take we landed on out of all this.
Out of all what?
Oh, we haven't even played what he said about the Larry yet, and you want to rename the Larry.
Yeah, I have a hunch I know. And Larry O'Brien, like Vince Lombardi is legendary for the championships and the start of the NFL. I don't know enough about Larry O'Brien. I would think David Stern, who passed away 10 years ago or so, they could change that to David Stern helped grow this game a heck of a lot, probably more than Larry O'Brien. I'm not trying to sit here and besmirch Larry O'Brien. I don't know him. I don't know anything about Larry O'Brien, and I like him. But let's, I think
David Stern passed away January 1st of 2020. So I don't know how long you have to be dead before we give you a trophy in your name. Nevertheless, Vincent Goodwill is very much alive and has gotten all kinds of attention for saying this.
I like to know that greatness is validated. How do we know that any of the last eight champions are actually validated because they have not done it again? Giannis is itching to get out. Boston is thinking about trading Jaylen Brown. They don't believe in their one championship. LeBron's one championship in L.A. was not enough. So why would it be enough for us?
Validate is the Larry O'Brien that I put on that shelf and stays there forever. That's the validation. The Laker thing.
Oh, you mean participation trophy then?
I'm sorry. Larry O'Brien is a participation trophy?
If everybody gets one.
It is an actual trophy. Yeah. You won the league that year. The 2021 I get because it's summer camp. Like, it was in one little bubble, and that's why people give them crap about that one. But, no, you win the title. It's validated.
A participation trophy for winning the league.
That's insane. It's absurd. I think, and I'm not going to tell Vinny Goodwill how to do his business because he's getting what he wants with the clicks and everything else.
He's got no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, no, there is. Here's what I would say: is the league better when you have, if you want to call it validation, you could call it a dynasty or a big time operation that everybody's gunning for? It is. I think we all like living in the fantasy world of we want all 30 teams to be great and we want to have everybody in the mix. Well, not everybody does the right thing. Not everybody makes the right moves. Not everybody has the right mix. Not everybody has the right coach. You should be rewarded for your stability and for how you approach things. That needs to be rewarded. And greatness is why people love sports. So there's a part of his for as ridiculous as saying the New York Knicks, you're thinking that's a participation trophy? Like, that was blood, sweat, tears, years of pain that they just fought through. The Milwaukee Bucks, are you kidding me? Giannis ripping his knee up and coming back and playing and fighting through a 2-0 deficit? Like, come on. Like, that's disrespectful. But his overarching point, if he had framed it the way I frame it, I think would have made some sense. And from a league standpoint, we will not individually remember every eight teams. Unless you're an NBA lover, you're going to have a hard time going through it. But you're not going to forget the Bulls. You're not going to forget Shaq's Lakers. You're not going to forget Steph and the Warriors. You're not going to forget about the Heat with LeBron. You might forget about OKC in 2025. You might forget about Boston in whatever year they won. So there is something to sustaining. And I feel the same way when it's tennis. Like Zverev, who had just won a championship. He deserves a ton of credit. You think he thinks that's a participation trophy, getting beaten around for 10 years? That means more to him than anything because he stuck with it. But in the historical perspective and in the kind of the grand scheme, yeah, we're going to remember it as the Yannick Sinner. And that's where we're going to be. It's going to be that era. It's going to be Djokovic and Nadal and Federer. It's not going to be. That's where greatness lies. And let's be honest, none of these teams in this eight-year run is going to be talked about as one of the great teams or the great runs that we've ever had. There's a separation, but to say, oh, this trophy is participation, like, that's just idiotic.
Meanwhile, as idiotic as that might have been, I don't want to be harsh. We all, Lord knows, we all have moments in broadcasting where you would like a do-over. Sure. I'm guessing that Vince would like that as well. I would say this.
Oh, I don't think he wants a do-over. I think he's gotten everything he wanted. You think he wants to do
I don't know him well enough to know if he wanted this kind of attention by saying something ridiculous.
I'm going to say this. I don't know. I don't know him at all either, and I'm almost certain he loves that kind of attention, if we're being honest.
I did. This caused me, so thank you, Vincent Goodwill, for this. I think the Larry O'Brien trophy is aptly named. I didn't know a lot about Larry O'Brien. Let me run through Larry O'Brien's highlights during his tenure as the commissioner and why they named the trophy for him. He negotiated the ABA-NBA merger.
What year?
I don't know, whatever year that was.
70s.
Yeah, 75, something like that.
Okay.
He grew the league from 18 to 23 teams. He coordinated the NBA's richest TV contract. He brought the NBA to cable television. He negotiated two landmark CBAs without work stoppages. He modified the college draft. He introduced the salary cap in 1983. He settled the Oscar Robertson suit, which led to free agency. Annual NBA attendance reached 10 million during his tenure. Gate receipts doubled and television revenue tripled during his time as commissioner. And he oversaw the adoption of the three-point field goal during his tenure. Pretty productive.
Sounds like he did a nice job as a commissioner. That's great.
Well, did he do a better job than Stern?
No. God, no. Jason, the games were on tape delay. Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, David Stern. You want to talk about where the NBA's at, where it's at? It's those guys.
Wait, Larry
so
Bird. Larry Bird
Larry
and Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan all entered the league when he was still the commissioner.
Was the league
84
more popular
was his last
under
year.
Larry O'Brien, or was it more popular under David Stern?
And does by the it way, become as popular to, as it did under David Stern without Larry O'Brien? Hey, I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? I know. It ain't.
We can give Larry the NBA Cup trophy in December.
What do you guys got against Larry O'Brien?
Nothing, but Larry O'Brien was a nice commissioner, did a good, really nice job by your accounts.
He brought the three-point line and free agency into basketball.
Yeah, there's too many threes now. Actually, let's rescind that. Let's move it back. There's too many threes.
It should be the Michael Jordan trophy, and as long as he lives, Michael Jordan should present the trophy at the finals to the winning coach or team.
Agree. Yep. It's about the players, brother. It's about the players. Let's make it about the players. The commissioner did a really nice job. Hey, kudos. We're going to give you a ton of money, and you get access there. Great job by Larry. Apparently. Great job by David. They did their job.
Larry David. Very good.
Michael Jordan won 6 championships. Phil Jackson won 9 championships.
Maybe well, then those why don't guys we call it the Phil Jackson trophy?
Maybe we just start saying, you get a 10-year run with these trophies, and then we're going to switch it. Maybe that's what we start thinking about.
Little known fact, at least by me, before he became the NBA commissioner, Larry O'Brien was the Postmaster General, which is an interesting career switch. But nevertheless, I think they should rename it the Annex Wealth Management Trophy. How do you like them apples?
Well, I do think this cup idea is good. Jesse, that's a good idea by you. And it's a good idea to be going with the great team at Annex Wealth Management. Jason talks about estate plans. You know what? Have you updated yours since the tax laws changed? Some of the biggest changes became law last summer. They might have been to your benefit. The One Big Beautiful Bill Act raised the basic exclusion amount for estates, and they made it permanent. So what does that mean for you? Well, the amount you can pass completely free of federal estate tax exposure went up. The amount is permanent. You can plan with a lot more confidence than you could have in the past. All of these questions and more, how you should go about handling your money, what's going on with inflation, all of the world affairs, everything that you're thinking about, Annex Wealth Management has you covered. They have a great team. Get started today. Go to annexwealth.com. Hit the Get Started button. Get it rolling. Get on all of the different things that have changed, what your family needs, and work with the team at Annex to meet your goals. They will handle your business. Again, annexwealth.com.
As much as Larry O'Brien wishes we were more supportive of his trophy's existence, I don't think it'll make any Did You Hear This segments. What will are some takes on Giannis, and we'll hear them next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Tausch rolls on. We'll talk to Aaron Popke coming up to get a little more insight into why the Packers took the aggressive approach to speaking out against some of the flippant comments from Wisconsin U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald and his view of the Sports Broadcasting Act. That's coming up. Aaron's always really insightful and helpful to us, even though he and I don't see eye to eye on some things. So we look forward to that. But first, a little round of Giannis-inspired Did You Hear This?
Consider it the radio version of a conversation at the water cooler. It's time for Did You Hear This on Wilde and Tausch.
Everybody's got something to say on Giannis Watch as we await.
What does Vincent Goodwill have to
say?
Well,
we already played something from him. We're good there. There's a D word that Michelle Smallman used on Unsportsmanlike when describing Giannis.
I think I know what it is.
Here's what she said.
This whole, I want to be here, but no, I don't. I love Milwaukee, but I want to win. And if I can't win here, well, I don't know. All of this that's been going on for quite some time, that has had a compounding effect. Is Giannis a diva? That's another thing you have to factor in, is the personality and the demands that would come along with it if he is to be brought into your organization, especially if you give up a ton to get him.
Michelle Smallman on Unsportsmanlike weekday mornings starting at 5 a.m. Is Giannis being a diva?
Here's what I would say. I'm not going to call him a diva, but his, again, this Miles Turner talking about the airplane thing.
Unbelievable.
That's brutal. And I don't know. Giannis has not come out and refuted, you know, how that has shaken out. I don't know why Miles would make that up. I tend to believe that story is true.
Wouldn't.
So that's just incredibly selfish behavior. And you can't have that as an organization and as a team. So that really was the story that, I mean, I think we all agree he plays hard. He is a great competitor, all the things that you want. But as time elapses, you have to continue to check yourself to make sure you don't wreck your organizations. And sometimes players get so big that they can forget that. And it just feels as if this last couple of years, there's been frustration on Giannis' part for not winning and from not being able to stay healthy and all of those things. And you combine all of those things, it's just not a formula that wins. And if you want to call that divish, I'm not, because there's too many things that show you that he's not. But the last couple of years, it's just not been, it has not been a healthy coexistence, I guess would be the way I'd put it.
I don't have a problem with her calling him that. That airplane, waiting for the plane and waiting for him story is not a good look. And it has not been refuted. I am also in that group that is just exhausted by this whole proxies and I didn't say this and I didn't say that and doing interviews in which you want to make it sound like you don't want, he just doesn't want to be the bad guy when this ends. And you say what you want about Aaron Rodgers, say what you want about Brett Favre, say what you want, but this is what happens when superstars leave their teams. And sometimes all is forgiven, other times ill will lingers. But just be transparent and let's be honest. And I don't feel like that's been the case. Let's do another one.
Who is the last
Did you hear this?
Star that has actually finished their career on good terms with the same team? Tim Duncan?
I got to give that some thought.
I think Tim Duncan.
Kobe?
I mean, Duncan was after Kobe.
NFL-wise, who's it been?
Like, John Elway.
Those days are... Yeah, it might be John Elway. I can't think of anybody else. I mean, if Peyton Manning and Tom Brady didn't...
Right.
I would bet now that Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, that they're all end up somewhere else at some point.
Aaron Donald?
Yeah, but he's not even done. And Aaron Donald's a great player, but he's not a quarterback. He's not like, if you're asking random Joe Blows, I don't know if they're going to know who Aaron Donald is. People are going to know Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to be a star. It can't be Aaron Donald's a Hall of Fame player. Plus, I think he's coming back. Don't be shocked he comes back, people.
Did you hear this?
So Michelle Smallman hosts ESPN Radio's morning show right now. Jay Williams used to host ESPN Radio's morning show. He's an NBA analyst, knows a thing or two. And he describes the environment that Giannis would thrive in his next stop, wherever it may be.
I don't think you have to rearrange your franchise for Giannis. I think there is context that matter when a player is in an organization where they don't see eye to eye anymore. We've seen this happen multiple times with players and how they handle that stress. I do think Giannis would be better utilized when he has strong leadership, starting from a head coach and starting from a front office. And I think that has diminished. I'm not going to diminish Giannis's 50-point closeout game in an NBA championship and all of a sudden say this guy doesn't have it anymore.
It's Jay Williams on Get Up the other day. What do you make of his commentary that Giannis is best when he's in a franchise that has strong leadership?
Yeah, no blank. Like, isn't that where everybody's at? Like, don't you want strong leadership whatever organization you're in?
I mean, LeBron's been fine wherever he's gone.
Has he? He's upset every apple cart he's been in. And maybe if there was more stability and someone that could run the ship. The best place he's been has been Miami. What does that have? Strong leadership. He didn't like it. Somebody took away his cookies. And he didn't like it when he didn't get his cookies. So he said, I'm out of here. And since then, he's run the show everywhere he's been. And yeah, he's had an unbelievable career. But let's be honest. This is the all-time, besides Michael Jordan, he's the greatest player. And he's the most talented player we've ever seen. He's got 4 titles in 20-some-odd years. Now, he's been in the mix. Maybe
should rename the trophy for him.
If he had stayed in Miami and played and let Pat Riley and Spoelstra and that strong leadership, I'm going to tell you this. He's got more than 4 titles.
Yeah.
Period. Finn.
Mm-hmm. I will touch on that. All right, we're going to cut this short so we can get to Pop Key. But first, I need to tell you about Steinhoffels. And right now, Steinhoffels Furniture and Mattress is celebrating America 250 with unbeatable savings for your home. Right now, take advantage of store-wide savings of up to 30%, plus earn a $250 MasterCard gift card, get it, $250, when you spend over $2,999 or more. From stylish sofas and bedroom sets to dining room collections and premium mattresses, this is the perfect time to refresh your home and save big while you do it. Don't miss the Steinhoffels America 250 sale. You can shop in-store or online anytime at steinhoffels.com. Relax! It's Steinhoffels. Aaron Popke, the Packers' Director of Public Affairs, joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
As I said in my one of my appearances on News 3 Now on one of the newscasts last night, one of the great things about this job is that 99% of the time it's about ball, right? It's either about what happened on the field or me telling the stories of the people that make those things happen on the field. But occasionally politics finds its way in. And the last couple days, I have been once again reminded why I don't particularly enjoy social media. This is a non-story. My favorite one was, if this had been a Democrat who had done this, I wouldn't have written anything or talked about it. No, when the Green Bay Packers, who notoriously do not, they bite their tongue a lot. When they speak out about something, it is significant. And I don't care if you are a Republican, a Democrat, or an alien, this would have been news. And now to help us understand it better, joining us on the Yuengling guest hotline, Yuengling, America's oldest beer, 197 years in America, and now in Wisconsin, DJ Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA, enjoy responsibly. It is the Packers Director of Public Affairs, and a guy that I have known a very long time, shares an affinity for Willie Porter's music, and then we disagree on a lot of things as well. It is Aaron Popke on Wildy and Tausch. Aaron, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Hey, doing well, thanks. Good morning to you both. Tausch, how you doing? Looking good?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, Pop.
So, Aaron, help us understand. Let's just start by giving you the floor a little bit because, I mean, I've been accused of carrying water for you guys on this subject, and I think I have a pretty clear track record that you and I have butted heads despite our friendship. About ticket prices and about whatever else. This one made a lot of sense to me, and I had no problem understanding why you guys did this. But help us understand, Scott Fitzgerald, a Wisconsin U.S. representative, made some dismissive remarks about your concerns about the conversations that are occurring around the 1961 Sports Broadcasting Act. Help us understand why the organization felt it was necessary to speak up.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to discuss the topic. I think the topic itself is crucially important to the Green Bay Packers. I mean, you all know in recent times we've talked about how the league is changing, you know, with respect to revenues and the other clubs, stadium development, all those things. And the SBA, as you all have discussed, I think you've gotten into it recently, is so fundamental to the model of the NFL that owners pool their media rights and then they share the revenues. You know, it's a business model that has proven very, very effective for the NFL, allows a competitive level playing field, and each year teams can compete for championships. And it's proven to be that way for over 50 years now, coming up on 65 years. And when that model is being reviewed, I think it's incumbent upon the Packers, because we are in the smallest market, as you all know, to have a healthy skepticism over what the outcome could be. As you know, you mentioned politics, and Tausch, I know you too. Are very aware of some unintended consequences that have happened over the years, you know, with legislation. So when we see that this is being looked at, the model's being reviewed, we need to have healthy skepticism. And given where we are in the smallest market, we need to play out worst case scenarios. And could this be, whatever happens to this, could it end up being where the model on which we share revenue, what if that goes away and then the NFL, the owners, it changes so much that we can't agree on a model to share revenue. So we just need to play out that worst case scenario. And frankly, discussions are taking place and we have uncertainty as to where this will go. There hasn't been a model that's been proposed or what those changes potentially could be. So we just need to operate with healthy skepticism and raise our concerns. And as you said, those concerns were responded to in a way that just seemed really dismissive. Now, I think that's where we're concerned, and we think Packers fans should be concerned too.
Has taking the more public initiative that you did, has it brought any conversations with Representative Fitzgerald and his people, and B, like I look, I'm not going to pretend, you know this stuff way better than I do. I'm not going to fake it here. It would seem to me that it's not unreasonable to look at the SBA and say, look, we just need to make sure that it is keeping up with the changes in how people consume sports and consume football. And so do we want it just in there that it also explicitly includes streaming or cable television or whatever else? Because none of those things were in existence in 1961. But the fundamental part of it about pooling the resources and sharing the revenue is so vital to your guys' existence that I understand why you don't want to mess with it. So has there been any, what has happened since you guys made the statement you did on Tuesday?
Well, we've definitely had conversations throughout. I mean, we've been talking about this. I mean, the NFL has been talking about this with the chairman's team, and we've been involved in those discussions. And as you know, we visit with lawmakers, local, state, federal level, throughout the year, and have had discussions on this going back to when the interest was stated that this wanted to be reviewed and looked at. So we've had discussions and continue to have discussions, and even recently have had some discussions. And what we look forward to and hope to be able to do is to continue to have discussions at our level, you know, specific to the Packers. And as you know, we're just one of 32 teams. The NFL continues to have discussions. And I think we certainly understand and saw what comments were made. I think what was told to us is that there is such confidence that whatever changes are looked at would not affect the revenue sharing. I mean, what was stated was they don't want to touch revenue sharing. Totally understand that that's crucial to a team, especially like the Packers. And, you know, looking at perhaps changes that would do the things that you speak of, I think that there was so much confidence it wouldn't have that effect where those statements were made. We certainly don't have that confidence. So that's why when things were said that zero consideration was given to the Packers' concerns or that our concerns were laughable because, you know, they didn't think any changes were going to affect us. I guess that's where we don't have the confidence and certainly understand what they've said and where they want to go with this. But I think it's incumbent upon us with all the challenges that we have as a small market team that any changes to the structure that allows us to generate revenue and then share that revenue with some uncertainty around that with no plans or where that could go. I mean, we need to raise those concerns. And, you know, as you said, it just seemed dismissive the way they were trying to say, well, they shouldn't have concerns. Well, I guess we have a fundamental difference in opinion there. We're going to respectfully disagree there that we need to be concerned until further conversations play out. And we want to be a part of those conversations that we can have at our level, at the Packers, along with the conversations that the NFL is going to have with the chairman and the committee.
So Aaron, who wanted to open this back up? Did this come from all of these streaming packages and the windows, whether it's the Wednesday night Netflix? Did legislators want to open this up? Because to me, the NFL, when back in the 60s when this happened, the big market teams understood it because it could have been real easy for them to say, no, we're not going to share this, like you see in baseball and some other things. The league as a whole, I would think, should be pretty content with the growth and everything. So where does this all start? Where did it stem from and opening this thing up?
Well, I can't speak to the intentions. You know, I think we've all seen what was said, certainly by the chairman and other members of the committee. What was said at the hearing was they don't necessarily want to look at totally upending things, but look to things that you just stated. You know, let's, as the NFL said, that what has evolved with the broadcast deals is we're meeting the fans where they're at. You know, the vast majority of the games are still over-the-air broadcasts, you know, 100% in the home markets here in Green Bay and in Milwaukee, including, you know, the entire district of the congressmen. And then outside of the home markets, you know, 87% of the games are there. And then what's evolved in the spirit of the SBA is meeting fans where they're at with these other platforms. The streaming ones you mentioned, you know, it was on broadcast forever, and then it went to added ESPN in the 80s, and now we've got these other platforms. But, you know, in reality, when you see the reach of these other platforms, the game is becoming more available to the fans who now get their programming from those platforms. Netflix and Amazon Prime are in over 80 million homes in the U.S. ESPN is in 50 million homes. So by actually going to those other platforms, it's becoming more available. And the vast majority of the games are still over broadcast TV. I think that's what the NFL has stated, and they want to keep it that way. And we see what is said, you know, again, spoken to the chairman's team and hear what they are saying. I think we still have a disagreement. Respectful disagreement on revenue sharing and how that agreement is in place in the NFL. You've been speaking about this the last couple of days. You know, this act and the structure that followed from it allows revenue to be generated through the pooling of the resources and gives the ownership confidence to share those revenues in a way that's good for the league. And what we haven't seen is a plan of how they would say what they want to do with bringing it up to speed. And they've said that too. They want to recognize where viewing habits are. But without a plan, without knowing what's going to be there, as a team in the smallest market, we need to have healthy skepticism and simply have those concerns and want to continue to make sure our fans are aware of that, but have those concerns as we continue to have these discussions.
But Pop, from the NFL standpoint, are all, and I guess you can't ever say all 32 teams are going to agree on everything, but does everybody still agree that this model is the right way amongst the 32 teams? Or is it there are some owners that maybe think, maybe with this change in how revenue is coming in, we need to start looking at how we pool? Or is everybody still on board?
Well, that is the great question that's asked. You know, we simply don't know that. And that's the concern we bring up to those on the committee and respectfully to the chairman. And we continue to say that even in recent days, that just that unknown. I mean, they say they don't want to deal with revenue sharing. They understand that revenue sharing is important to all the clubs. And our model that, again, has made us the most popular sport and gives us that competitive playing field. That model, the way the revenue is generated and then shared, if that is adjusted, what you say could be a worst case scenario. We need to play out the worst case scenarios. That's incumbent upon us with all the headwinds that we are potentially facing. What if that model changed so much where the revenue is different, it is generated differently, and a club, big market clubs, could say exactly what you just said. You know, maybe we don't want to do that anymore. You know, so those are the things that we continue to ask and want to be skeptical about. And if there's confidence there, you know, that's not going to be affected. You know, I guess it just wasn't necessarily stated in a way that seemed dismissive. So, I mean, that we just need to maintain that healthy skepticism.
So, talking with Aaron Popke, the Director of Public Affairs for the Packers. All right, so, Aaron, I have obviously a unique perspective. My grandparents got season tickets 80-some years ago at State Fair Park in Milwaukee. I worked for a Madison-based newspaper where, for example, when Tausch was blocking for Aaron Rodgers in the old Texas Stadium, when he came in for an injured Brett Favre, that was during the era that the NFL Network was in its infancy, and fans in Madison couldn't get that on their cable system yet. So they didn't get to see that game because, as you correctly pointed out, the two markets that are designated as home markets, and I don't even know how many other NFL teams have two. I think there might be one other one.
I don't believe so.
It's Milwaukee and Green Bay Fox City. So what has also been a flashpoint for fans is that with two games on Netflix and two on Amazon Prime, if you're not in Milwaukee and the Green Bay Fox cities, if you don't have those streaming services, you better get them if you want to watch those Packers games. And I think that has gotten a lot of fans' ires up. When you look at where streaming is going, what are the challenges to make sure that you are not blind to the frustrations that maybe those portions of the fan base are feeling?
Well, I think those are good questions, and certainly those have been asked, and that's part of this discussion. Yeah, the members of the committee have talked about that. You know, I think other efforts, other initiatives have discussed that. I know the NFL is talking with lawmakers over those questions, and you know, we are certainly one of 32, and the structure and model that's there is something that we need to. We're certainly a part of it at that level. I think. And what the NFL has said, and even members of the committee have said, is viewing habits have evolved, and they want to update things along with those. You know, the NFL, the way they've gone about putting together their programming has evolved with those. And as I mentioned earlier, the numbers of some of these platforms are more, the reach is greater than cable television. So I think these things are all... These all evolve, and I think those are questions that'll continue to be discussed. And you know, what we would like to do is make sure we're part of those discussions, have that discussion, and make sure there's clear understanding of what our concerns are. And certainly, we appreciate confidence that's there, but you know, I think that confidence could be stated in ways that doesn't mean. You know, that isn't necessarily dismissive. I mean, we need to have this healthy skepticism, as I stated earlier. So all those questions will be discussed.
And you understand, fan, like I, again, politically, Tammy Baldwin is a Democrat. She is a senator. She proposed the For the Fans Act, in which essentially she wanted each state to be viewed as a home market. So everyone in, say, Wisconsin would be able to watch on over-the-air television those streaming games. I understand what the streaming platforms want, right? They want to give you a reason to sign up for their streaming platform. They're in the business of making money. They want subscribers. If I'm a Packers fan, I want to watch my team. I'm going to subscribe because I don't want to miss that big game against the Rams on Thanksgiving Eve, that newly made-up holiday. I get all of it. I just think it's really interesting that you guys have to figure out a way to placate your fans who care so deeply about this team and understand that you are part of 32, that maybe not everything is going to be what you're looking for. My question, to let you go, is does the commissioner fully understand and support the smallest market in his league needing to have this skepticism? Does he understand where you and Ed Policy and this organization are different and unique than the other 31 teams?
I believe he does. I mean, we're in the smallest market, but there are other small markets. Mm-hmm. You look at Buffalo, you look at Cincinnati, you look at Jacksonville. Again, those are all good questions, and you spoke to it yourself, that the model supports this business and supports the media rights that get pooled and then sold. If there are aspects of this that, you know, change that model or force a change to the model, I think those are the uncertainties that I think everybody is concerned about. So it's that uncertainty that we need to be skeptical about. And if the business model, I mean, as you said, the model is such where there's great demand for our product, you know, put it in business terms, and that allows, you know, that business model to support revenue growth and the evolution of how that product is being consumed and viewed, that needs to be part of the consideration. And it definitely is at the league level. And if that changes that model, with which revenue is generated, I mean, those are all the questions and the uncertainties we need to just continue to be vigilant about. We need to have a strong vigilance over these matters that could potentially affect the business model, so much so where it changes. And again, that is a worst case scenario, but that's what we have to watch for. And if those who are taking a look at this model have enough confidence that it's not going to upset the way the revenue is generated and then shared, well, that, you know, we need to see the details behind that wouldn't affect that way. And we would ask not to be so dismissive of our concerns.
Say hi to the chair.
The way that confidence is expressed seems very dismissive.
Well, tell the chairman we say hello. I am thankful to John Underwood for having taught me about the three-legged stool, because it's still, as Tausch loves a good analogy, it is as good as it gets when it comes to understanding what allows the Packers to function the way they do. We will let you get back to the important matters that you have to deal with. Thanks for making time for us, and we'll go see Willie Porter play sometime soon.
Well, that sounds great. Good to see you both. Thanks for the opportunity, Tausch. And heck, you remember this from your, you were worried about blitz pickup when Bob Harlan and then Mark Murphy continued to make sure the Packers were in a good place as one of 32. So the model's evolved. We need to continue to make sure the Packers have their place within it.
That is Aaron Popke. He joins us on the Yingling guest hotline. Yingling, the oldest brewery in America, now in Wisconsin. DG Yingling and Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. We'll unpack a little bit of what Pop had to say next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Thanks to Aaron Popke for giving us the Packers' reasoning for why they came out so strongly about Scott Fitzgerald's remarks. I don't want to spend more time on this because I understand some of you find it boring. I do think the one thing that is worth emphasizing is that, while Aaron didn't say this, I think the flashpoint for this is the number of games that have moved to streaming, that are in midweek games, the Thanksgiving Eve game. Like, again, I understand why streaming platforms want live sports.
It's only going to get worse.
Right.
There's only going to be more games on.
Right. And so I understand why people are frustrated by it. And to me, that's the one part of this. And I'm not saying that the NFL brought this upon themselves, but I kind of am, because I'm not going to stand here and defend the NFL's greed. Okay? I think they are. I think they're greedy. But of course, that's their job, is to make money.
Yeah, what do you want them to do? If you ain't growing, you're dying. True, it's just the way it is.
Again, I think that there are...
You want them to say, no, we're going to take less money and we'll stick with, we'll put it on PBS? Like, come on, guys, that's just not going to happen.
And the other issue, and I think this is what...
Jim Lehrer as a play-by-play guy could be good.
PBS Plus.
Yeah, no, you know they would. You know PBS wouldn't just do it.
The Magic School Bus all cast.
They'd start their own streaming. Like, then PBS would make money on it. So let's just, all right, continue.
I think the greatest issue is that, and it's one thing if you live in
Sesame Street Remix. That could be something on PBS. But continue. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it. I'm a
Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch on the call with Elmo on the sidelines would be a heck of a broadcast.
Snuffleupagus would be the sideline guy. Can you imagine that big old tusk, and he's got the mic in there, and he's whipping it up, and he ends up whipping somebody in the head. Jordan Love, how'd it go? What the? Stand back, man. I don't need you up so close. Snuffleupagus.
Cookie Monster studio anchor.
You know Jason wants to do a Kermit the Frog with his piss, so he won't do it. You know he does.
Let's go back to Cookie Monster back in the studio for a PBS Today update.
Miss Piggy? Get Miss Piggy out there?
She wasn't on PBS. That was the Muppet Show. It's a different thing.
You don't think the Muppets ever were on PBS? Jason, here's what I'd say, and I know we're going to put a bow on this.
Yeah, I'd love to. You guys, I don't think you appreciate how... Never mind.
Oh,
yeah, go ahead. Put a bow on it.
What don't we appreciate?
No.
What don't we appreciate?
Public broadcasting is important. It is important.
Yeah.
And there have been major cuts to it. So if we could stop making jokes about it, that would be great.
No, but my point is, if it's on PBS, you know, PBS would put a streaming service and try to get like that's my point. So where people are dismissive, Aaron Popke's doing his job. The Packers are doing their job. They're protecting their interests. Mm-hmm. And I asked the question about the owners because I told you during the CBA negotiations, if you don't think that the New York owners and Jerry Jones wouldn't love to get an advantage by taking all of that revenue and not pooling it and just dividing it by individual markets, a la Major League Baseball, you're not paying attention.
Crazy. Yep.
And it would be a malpractice of monster proportions if Aaron Popke and Ed Policy and everybody up there isn't staying vigilant on top of vigilant. You should be thankful as a Packer fan that people are fighting on that, because if they go where that revenue doesn't get distributed in an even way amongst 32 teams, this league is going to be in the same spot as baseball is. And maybe you could say, well, that's great. Well, by the way, how's baseball going? Is everybody getting free Brewers TV games, or are you signing up on Brewers.com and paying a fee? Like, you have to look at this thing in a big picture way. And for as much as there's some things that I think the NFL are doing, it's like, all right, what is unfortunate, and I think this is your frustration, the fans are not at the top of mind when they're doing this. And I thought, you know, Aaron saying, well, we have to go where fans – all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to go where you're generating revenue. Let's just call it what it is. And
exactly.
That's okay. Just say that, because that is the reality. And then you figure out – the question to me, and you asked this, how do we get where the state of Wisconsin gets games over broadcast TV? Because now you're also – there's other issues other than this broadcast act that the NFL better be paying attention to. The antitrust exemption, that's a big one you better be paying attention to. There's other things that are in play that streaming, the old forefathers didn't see Netflix coming, the forefathers of the NFL.
Right.
How this all gets worked out is incredibly important for the longevity of the NFL, but in particular, and this is where Pop did a great job of pounding it in, everybody that's
for the
listening's
Packers.
Head, the Packers are the 32nd team when it comes to this. They need this. That's why they're so vigorously defending it. And I assure you, people are concerned that owners in these big markets, the Stan Kroenkes and other people, wouldn't love to say, no, 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 no. I'm putting all this money in for a stadium. I need a bigger piece of the pie. And that's where the Packers are going to fight tooth and nail to make sure that pie is evenly distributed. And if they need to do that, they are doing it, and good on them for doing it. That doesn't mean that the fans are being taken care of in the best way.
Correct.
Because you're going to be paying more. That's the reality. I think I just buttoned that up in a two-minute segment. You're welcome. You're
Thank
welcome.
You. Let's go to the count. How many minutes behind to start the 11 o'clock hour are we?
No, that's good.
One.
Now, is the count
two,
part of PBS
three.
Plus or not?
The count is part of Sesame Street, Miss Piggy.
Antiques Roadshow.
The Muppet
right?
Show.
Is it Antiques Roadshow? I'm
starting Bob
to
Ross.
Think, I'm starting to think the NFL, if they're smart here, they could get wherever
you don't
state,
need to hop
could,
on a plane or board a cruise ship to feel like you've escaped. And God knows I want to escape right about now. And I could just swing into Milwaukee and Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Start with the state. The biggest hotel rooms in Milwaukee, nearly 500 beautifully designed rooms and luxury suites that are perfect for a weekend reset, a date night, or celebrating something big. And if you're hungry, there are so many options. Dream Dance Steakhouse, The Marketplace, Rockin' Brews, Canal Street Cafe, Ruyi Asian Kitchen, Cream City Coffee Company, food and drink specials happening all the time. And they've got great spaces for weddings, birthdays, or anniversaries as well. Elite Play. Luxury stay, bet on flavor at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.